Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is December the 9th, 2011.
We think.
we're still confused on the times. But I always let them know now so they know it is a live show tonight. And we do have a guest tonight, and we're going to be talking to him. He's one of our authors, and we have published two of his books. But also, I just want to mention that Michael Dennis, he is a professional psychic. And he's agreed if anybody wants to call in during the show and ask questions for themselves, but to keep it very brief, just short, and we don't want it to dominate the whole show, because we're going to be talking with Michael about his books and his background. But if somebody does have a question, they can call in, but we're just going to take a few, not to devote the whole show to that anyway.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but our guest is Michael Dennis. Michael, where are you anyway?
Well, on this plane and dimension at this current 3D moment, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio.
You're in Cincinnati. I couldn't remember exactly where you were. Okay, before I go, I forgot. Let me give out the toll-free number in case anybody does want to call in. It's 1-888-627-6008. So you're thinking you're in this dimension. We don't know yet. We've been traveling so much, we're not even sure where we are.
I understand completely.
Because we've been all over the world and back.
I know. Well, you know your part of your journey is to spread your energy around the world. They've done told you that.
Well, everybody's telling me that, you know, that everywhere I go, they always say you leave some of your energy. It never depletes you, but you do leave a piece of your energy there, and that's supposed to be good. Do you want it to be positive energy?
It's wonderful. And being an Aries, you just keep trucking on ahead.
Yeah, sure. That's true. Okay, well, Michael has written two books that our company has published. One is Morning Coffee with God, which is very humorous, I think, and it's a unique angle, and it's very humorous. And the other one came out this last year, wasn't it?
Right. And it's God's Many Mansions.
So that one, well, we're going to try to touch on both of them. But first, Michael, I always like the guests to let the people know about you. You know, let them know about your background and everything. So start talking about yourself.
Well, the first thing I want to say real briefly is I want to share some good news. The ARE at Virginia Beach has agreed to carry God's Many Mansions. That is the Association for Research Enlightenment, as you know, and they ordinarily don't cover anybody but their own books. But
yeah.
I was led to call them and have Joy send them a review copy, and they said, well, we're not interested in the morning coffee, but we will carry God's Many Mansions. So I had to share that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because we just never know. Someone may say something, but as they say, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I'm Michael Dennis, and I guess you could say I wear many different hats. I'm formally educated in foreign languages and opera, comparative religious studies, and all kinds of stuff. But I've always had the spiritual thing. When I was in college, I wanted to be a minister at one point, but because I had a lot of metaphysical experiences from a very young age, I was involved with the church, Baptist church. It was a type of sanctuary for me during a troubled childhood. It was one of those childhoods that actually made me go within. So at a very young age, I was always very drawn to the more metaphysical slant. And because I had experiences, college kind of got in the way a little bit, except when I met the amazing Kreskin, which is included in God's Many Mansions. But one of the things that pushed me to write was, I'll just come out and say it, Dolores Cannon, I ran across Convoluted Universe, Book 1.
Uh-huh.
And I had some very strange, I was recently reading where you said, no matter how much I do this work, it keeps getting stranger. And I just kind of laughed because I recall a lot of my own experiences. So I decided, when I read that, to share a lot of experiences that I had. I was going to pursue a PhD. A friend of mine calls it a phenomenal dumbbell. She said there's so many PhDs out there running around with very little brain sense. And I was very involved with the psychic. I was training at a spiritual center in my mid-20s in Bloomington, Indiana. So I was already opening up. The doors were opened. I was doing the psychic, the channeling, while I was pursuing my master's in education and went on to begin the PhD. I did teach high school French and Spanish for about 5 years full-time and did a one-year assistantship for the French. And before I had to meet the doctoral committee, my guide said, "This is a fork in the road. You are not to do this full-time. You've already done this in another lifetime." So I gave up the career to go out on a limb. And as you know, Dolores, with your own background, with your own books and your own beginnings, there was no assurance that I was going to be able to make a living as a psychic or a writer. But I gave up the regular way of life to do that. I went in trance the next day in literature class, and I channeled some of the articles that's in Morning Coffee with God. Several of those are in the book on hatred, on sadness, and I entered a type of automatic writing trance at a conscious level when I was in the middle of class. So that was one of my first confirmations that I was on the right track. And then that kind of got me going. I thought, well, okay, then I can do that. So that's it. I went on to become a psychic, and I've been one over 20 years full-time. And I also channel Ascended Masters, Angels, Soul Groups, as well as the writings and everything I'm doing now. So I'm very grateful to Spirit, and I'm so grateful to you, Dolores, because when I read Convoluted Universe, I had had some of my own experiences in hypnosis and regression in my 20s and some similar experiences such as Journey Through Time in God's Many Mansions, where I went to Creator's Source, the spark, when the soul was created from the burst of light. So when I read yours in Convoluted One about the young lady merging with the sun and the God Source, I was so enthralled that my guide said, "Now you know that you're crazy, Michael, so go ahead and go." You've got friends and people out there who are telling these stories, and the subconscious mind is being allowed to speak. So that's when I went for it, and after Morning Coffee came out, my guide said I needed to tell other stories from the otherworldly beings and talk about that. So that's what created the second book. And as you always know, there's more to come, as they say. And
You said when you began just channeling in class, was that the first time that it ever happened?
Well, no. You know, off and on all my life, I've been able to do that. I mean, I would be just diddling as a child, and I would see spirit faces, and I always loved to write. My mother taught me how to write when I was maybe three. You know, but as a kid, it was little things. I would write something. I remember in chapter 12, Rosara, of God's Many Mansions, the advanced alien being talked about a wind song dance that I did when I was six. And she telepathically implanted the moves when I would do the dance. And she gave me like a song. So I'm seeing now that I had a lot of these experiences at a young age. But the ones in college, you know, it was a more mature kind of thing. But I had lots of snippets. I have a scene in God's Many Mansions when I was in the crib. I was seeing the sky people, not only the discarnates, but one of the chapters when I had the spiritual seer in God's Many Mansions, the first chapter, I think, she came to me in church and told me that I had these gifts, and that in my Father's house are many mansions, and not all mansions are on this realm or this world. And she pointed up, and she used the word sky people. She said, "You're going to meet sky people." and no talk to everybody, people think you crazy like pansy. So I had experiences like that.
Okay, but I want to tell people the morning coffee with God was interesting because it was like, you know, you said for a while you couldn't figure out if you were dreaming or if it was actually real, but you would come down in the morning for when you was waking up, and this man who was representing God would be sitting there, and he'd make coffee every morning.
Oh, he was hilarious. It started out as a dream in 2005. I was visiting my friend who now lives down the street. And in the dream, I saw him like George Burns, dressed up with a hat, and he just looked like your everyday boy, oh, good old boy. And he said, you have questions. And he said, we're going to get to those questions. And he said, you will remember through the dream state verbatim. And he said, but it's not going to stay in the dream state because I forget the term he used, a perceptual shifter or whatever, but it was so enthralling that I really didn't know. And the thing that hooked me was his great sense of humor. I mean, he even told me, he said, God is not even my real name. You really should call me Dog, which is God spelled backwards, because that's more my true nature. He said, I'm an atheist. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Sure, God, who did I talk to when I was seven and that lonely little boy? Well, you talked to the real me. And I said, who's that? I am that I am. But please, for this book, would you call me Mr. Divine? And he kept emphasizing, I'm as real as your capacity to receive me is, and your capacity is far more than you can imagine. And he was just a hoot. I mean, we talked about all these convoluted, very deep subjects, and I got answers. And then I started waking up, and like I say, and he was still there, so I wasn't dreaming. They explain in the second book, God's Many Mansions, how through all my deep meditations, my psychic work, I had a lot of activations and chakra alignments with a lot of different teachers. Not only on the 3D, as you would say, this plane, Australia, all these wonderful places you went, but I was taken on spirit journeys to other places beyond here and being activated. So in the second book, it was so much easier for the beings, the otherworldly angels and different ones to just come in the middle of the daytime because I had been adjusted and aligned. So, of course, I thought I was crazy. And that's why I get so much wonderful comfort from your books, because I think, well, if I'm crazy, then she's insane. Or we're totally enlightened, because these stories, as you know. But, you know, the bottom line, the morning coffee, they're all so loving and gentle, and the wisdom, that's what got me, questions that haunted me my entire life. What's the purpose in life? Can we step into the future? Is there such thing as a multifaceted soul, parallel universes? This is stuff I got into when I read the Seth books in the 80s. This all came up, and most of my friends thought it was crazy and couldn't handle it, and I wanted more of it.
It was very deep back then. There was a lot of people, they said they'd read one page and have to stop and digest it because it was way ahead of its time.
Oh, very ahead of its time. And because Jane Roberts was a creative writer. She had some so-called science fiction published, so she was already had that creative door open. But the doors that she brought up is, you know, like all these deeper Seth 2, Seth this, the Oversoul 7. She went on about just an aspect of the multidimensional soul. There are aspects of my own, and that comes up a lot in your books, convoluted with the splintered, fragmented souls. And, you know, I would be having these experiences, but I always tell people, you know, whether it's really true on what level, as you said on the back of the book, is it real or just a series of dreams? This is for you to decide. As Michael says, there's much more truth to so-called fantasy. So what is real and what is fantasy? Now I honestly don't know and don't care, but as I say on my website, all of the beings, all of the, you know, whether they're fairies or a snow gnome coming in the middle of winter, which happened to me. I was going to a friend's house at Christmas, and he just plopped right down there beside me, and we got to talking about creator source and soul vision, and if we brought in enough power from the higher Christ self over so that we could be Lord creators of different worlds. And okay, I wrote...
There's a caller. That beep, when they beep, that means there's a caller.
Okay.
But we'll see what they want. Is that okay?
Yes, sure.
Is there a caller online?
Yes, Dolores. Hello, this is Clinton. I'm a big fan of yours.
Okay, do you have a question for me or for Michael?
For you, Dolores.
Okay, maybe Michael can, we'll see. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, got it.
He has dropped.
Okay.
Oh, he dropped off?
Okay, we'd like to...
We'd like the question to be for Michael instead of for me, mm-hmm. if they call in. Okay, pick up where you left off, Michael.
Oh, I don't know what I was talking about.
I'd like to interject. You're talking about all these different characters, and that is actually, I want people, that's why I wanted us to publish God's Many Mansions. It was so, it's really, when you look at it, it's like, oh my God, this is out there. This is really out there. And it seems like it's fantasy and it's fictional writing. And it's like, you know, and you even say, you're questioning it yourself. But what was really exciting was when I was reading it, things started happening around me. And it was like it was activating and opening things up around in me and around me. And I thought, oh, this is cool. This is really necessary. And then also then when they, because they start happening, and I had been reading this, it allows you to look at things differently and to look into it different, you know, deeper. And you start seeing that the world around you is not as it appears. There are other things just hiding right behind that layer. And so it allows you to open up to that. And that's what I thought was so exciting. It's like, while this seems like a really wild book, it's so wild that it can actually be real. That's what kept coming through. It was like, oh, that's why I wanted us to do it. So,
uh-huh. And that's why when you asked me, did this really happen to you, I told you, I said, Julie, I said, how about living with me? I have to live with this every day of my life. When Rosara came to me at my papa's when I had broken up with a girlfriend and said, I'm going to teach you about soul merging and soul sharing on my world, and you're going to understand why you're this lonely poet who writes this beautiful love poetry, and you ache for this soulmate connection that doesn't basically exist on your world. Let me tell you why, and that you're in my soul family, and you will have this. And talking about things happen, I met someone. We won't get into that, but like you said, things started happening to you. She told me that I would experience some of this cosmic interplanetary, you know, soul merging with a mortal that was a soulmate. So I was like, well, you know, I have to live with this stuff. These beings just come in and with these teachings, and I thought, I'm either just going to think I'm absolutely crazy or... But, you know, they wouldn't leave me alone. They're like, this needs to be told.
And then they are so, the way you describe them and their messages are so beautiful, it makes you want to be visited by them. It's almost like the E.T. movie, you know. Oh, he's so cute, I want him to come to me, you know, that kind of a thing.
Thank you.
So I think that opens you to that. And that's probably one of the best things we can do right now is give people permission to open up to these other realms.
So there's nothing to be afraid of,
right,
really.
Right, absolutely.
And they constantly, one of their greatest themes is, I say in my psychic readings, you know, we talk about how alone we feel, A-L-O-N-E, but if we insert a little L in between there, what does that say? All one. And they keep telling me, they're saying, Michael, you were never alone. And now I'm writing a sequel called Heaven's Gates Open, and they're saying not only were you not alone later, but when you were younger, as a child, you had visits. And now we're going to tell the visits that came to you during trauma. They said a lot of people that have very sensitive, highly developed emotional bodies, and when they go through abuse, a lot of them had visits from the beings, and we blocked them out. Or we were afraid because mommy or daddy would say we were crazy. So I'm now writing even more stories, even when I was 3 years old. So I tell people that feel so alone because it breaks your heart. And now I want to say, well, I felt that way too. But that loneliness pushed me to go within. And so if I'm just making up talking to God and these angels, when I was 13, the first angel popped right up. And I argued with God. I said, you know, this is absolutely nuts. People are going to think that we're brainwashing them. And he said, well, good, we need to wash those brains out.
But Michael, this comes up in just about all of my sessions that I have, and it's in the books too. They're always saying, you are never alone. We're always with you. They're talking to us. They're screaming at us, and we don't pay attention. We don't hear. But they said, you're never, ever alone. We're always with you.
But they got to get a way to get to us. You do the wonderful regressions where you take them to the deepest level of the somnambulist trance. In my case, it was through dream portals. So the dream portals is a way for them to come in. But now that I've been working with them, and I've been activated too, like we're all being activated, they don't need the dream portal anymore. Sometimes I still will get them. But, you know, I truly thought my story, Rotar, the whale on the parallel world, when I wrote that, I dreamt about this enraged whale. His eyes were so angry. And I woke up in a sweat. I was in tears. And I was like, the poor soul. And I said, I got to figure this out. I woke up. I turned on the light, 3 a.m., looked in the mirror, and his image superimposed over mine. And I thought, what in the world? And when I came across Your Convoluted Universe, Book 3, on the back cover, you know what's on there.
Lives
as animals. Lives as minerals. Everything has consciousness. So my guide, Dresda, one of my guides, said, now, to rock your world yet again, as you would say, you think you've got something figured, as you would say, bending the mind like a pretzel.
Yeah.
I love that saying, by the way, Dolores. Because I keep thinking my pretzel's going to break.
Well, in the new book, I started out with bending your mind like a pretzel, and I said, after all, it's an interesting shape. It reminds you of infinity.
Oh, I love it. It does. So I wrote the story where I was the whale on a parallel world, and then she said, you were not ready. You remember your books. They moved into the convoluted concepts not overnight. It took a long time. They would spoon-feed you, as you say. That's what my guide did with me. She said, we have to take this little by little. Your perceptual framework, Michael, isn't ready to be told this. But the fact that you would have these very vivid experiences in and out of dream time. And she said, now just go with it. One of the scenes in Journeys Through Time, I talk about even when I was a reed on the waters, I could feel the touch of the breeze, and I was alive, and I had consciousness. And I never chose to have my consciousness so concrete that I would forget that I was spirit soul. And then when I read yours, you know, some of your stories, the Lemurian tree and whatever, I thought, you know, I got to quit fighting this. I got to quit fighting with God. I got to quit, because as Julia said, and I am a poet, I've always been a poet, but the writings are, you know, they're very poetic. And I thought, well, goodness, then I've got to just get over this. And if a Bible thumper wants to attack me and call me crazy, well, you know, Shirley MacLaine, Out on a Limb, a guy wrote a book called Out on a Broken Limb, and instead of being defensive, Shirley MacLaine said, well, at least he read my book.
Okay.
I feel it's like, well, you know, just check it out. Just, you know, as you would say, sometimes you talk about mind candy. You know, when they're telling you, I get a kick out of a lot of times when, like stepping off the deep end in Convoluted 2, you talk about mind candy. Well, is this real or the real world or whatever? But when the aliens start talking about it being an illusion, you row, row, row your boat, life is but a dream. Like that book, Julia, you and I enjoy, Illusions by Richard Bach. Remember at the end he says, this could all be wrong, the whole book. Mm-hmm. So
I've written in my convoluted about that, that everything is
evolution. Yes, you have, and I love it. You've got that whole chapter, the dreamer dreams the dream. You're bringing up the subconscious, and the subconscious, you know what, you wrote it, or you transcribed it. He said, well, it's all a dream. The dreamer dreams the dream. So when I read that chapter, then I was smacked again into saying, there's, as Julia said, there's so much more going on. You know, it's not, things are not as they appear. And things can be multidimensional, you know, at the same time, like the fragment. I just had a vision. I just had a spirit come to me 3 nights ago. I was working in the new book. And she said, I'm a past life crib death self making contact. And I said, what? And I'm like, oh, my God, I wrote the story, and I'm like, you will never guess what it wanted. And the story spooked and puzzled me. I'm like, a past life crib death self is making contact with me in the present. I need a drink. I need the whole bottle. But as with the stories in God's Many Mansions, one reason I write is because, like you, Dolores, I'm an insatiable, my curiosity. You know, when I was a little boy, my favorite character was Curious George the monkey. He got into trouble. He got into everything. So I've always had that willingness. And then when things started happening spontaneously, I was doing a preview of a Nostradamus movie when I was teaching French in Indiana back in the 80s. And the actor was, you know, Nostradamus was known for his piercing eyes. You know, the staring eyes, it would pierce right through the soul. And,
yeah, I know him well. I had Nostradamus.
I love your Nostradamus books, by the way. I have all of your books. I've even pre-ordered the one that's not out yet. And I was yelling at Amazon. I said, I've done paid for Convoluted 4. Where's my book? And then Joy emailed me and said, well, we can't send you a book that hasn't come out. I said, well, I will just be patient because I have enough other things to read. But when the Nostradamus, when I was watching that, you know, it's easy. We go off, whether it's like in a regression or hypnosis, some of us can just kind of do it naturally. And I went in and stepped into the future. And I said, what? I saw a beautiful woman singing a coloratura soprano like Beverly Sills. And I saw a big neon sign in Stockholm, Sweden. And I said, who are you? She said, well, I'm Stella Marie Bergman. And I said, what? Who's that? She said, well, I'm a future you. And I'm like, oh, my God, can you look into time and see me? Can I see you? So we have an entire chapter, A Glimpse of Me in a Future Lifetime, near the end of God's Many Mansions. When I was 28 or 27, I asked Jesus, I said, how could you do what you did? I want to know. Please tell me. And he said, write. And I channeled automatic writing, an entire poem called The Great Price. And that poem is full of wisdom. I've memorized it. You know, if you're willing to pay the great price. So I'm like, well, if Jesus is talking to me, or if I'm just thinking he is, and he's saying these wonderful, kind things, you know, that you're not alone, that it's okay to have these skills, that the doors are opening. And these crystal indigos that are being put in these, you know, given drugs, they want to numb them. These advanced souls are very sensitive. And these are the souls, or you know, that I want to reach out to, because some of these children, you know, they're having the aliens, they're having the spirit visions, you know, and they get put away, or they just, the parents don't understand them. Like my niece, she just tells her little daughter, "Well, I'm going to give you a pill if you don't shut up." Well, Amber's a little like a little crystal child, so you know that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Well, in my lectures now, I found out it was on some program, and I think I've mentioned it on this show before, but these scientists and doctors found out over 300 million children have been misdiagnosed. There's nothing wrong with kids.
Yes.
That's 300 million children. So I've been telling that all over the world. There's nothing wrong with these kids at all.
We need to be there, you know, so I feel obligated to share what's coming in. And you know, I've done some a psychic reading for the other day. The woman is 4 months pregnant with an advanced star child, and she said, "Can you channel my child?" And I says, "Oh my goodness! I just got hit like with a starburst of energy, just went through my crown chakra." And I didn't even know what I was saying, and we were both in tears. She said, "I know my baby's coming in to make a big difference." And because I'm very open, as she put it, she said, technically crazy according to the ways of the world, she said, "I will be able to help this star child fulfill his path." And she said, "I know there are many others." So I do some of this work in my private channelings. You know, I will channel or do a reading for a baby that's not here yet. So I figure with everything going on, and, you know, it wouldn't, it's like you say it, anyway, so.
Well, Michael, you know, my book that I was out in this summer, you know, The Three Waves, have you read that?
Yes,
It's all full of that, about people having their coming in now to make a difference, and the different waves of
ours. Yes, I love that book, and I've been reading them and marking them up, and I've been reading Keepers of the Garden again, too, because I just love that feel. Your chapter, Losing Touch with Reality, when he saw that creature in the middle of the road, I mean, that was, because I have been feeling that push again, thinking I'm, you know, the figure eight mind is being bent, I'm going crazy. Because, you know, even though, and I read your chapter, that's why I said, things happen for a reason. Thank you so much for having me on here. Because just 3 nights ago, I was starting to kind of lose a little bit, thinking, oh, I'm losing my touch. I've got all this energy coming in. And then I read, you know, your chapter with Phil, and I thought, oh, my goodness. You know, he talked about feeling that his, you know, what did he say? Things he's taken for reality. He says it's frankly shot to hell. And that just went through me. I just thought, man, I know what this feels like. And here's a soul that worked with Dolores, and you know, they were able to get through that. You know, you allowed him to vent those feelings. You know, these star children, these clients that is feeling all these beings, I get a lot of clients coming to me. The doctors want to put them in a mental hospital. You know, they have spirits talking to them, especially if they're naughty spirits or what I call ghost whispers. But a lot of them are not. Sometimes there are open, you know, maybe they take Prozac or drink too much or something, and they may get a negative spirit wanting to come in, or a parasite or whatever, psychic attack. But a lot of them, you know, they're just misunderstood. I remember as when I was a child in the mental hospitals, my mother used to go once a year to get away from my father. It was her vacation. She'd go nut house. And that was her therapy for the year. And I was singing with the crazies then, and Spirit's telling me now I was doing sound healing. My chapter, The Delarians, where we talk about the sinus cavities and sound healing, these are ancient pre-Egyptian serpent beings. I think that's my last chapter in God's Many Mansions. And they came through me through chanting. Because I'm opera trained, they have the voice. And they said the sinus problems and all the allergies, there's a blockage in the throat chakra and the thyroid. And they said there's certain sound, you know, sounds and tones that can be, you know, can be in tone to work with that. So, and they all keep talking about getting the energy out. You know, that's what there's all the I keep reading all the violence in every day, and I'm thinking these people feel so limited. You know, the soul, you know, again, like, oh, my soul in God's Minute or Morning Coffee with God. When I channeled Oh, My Soul, I was in tears. Because my soul was saying, I am part of you. I am your highest aspirations. And link with me. Make that connection. And these people, you know, we're running around like zombies. So even if we, as you would say at the 209 conference, Dolores, you said, oh, Michael, you're psycho. Does that mean you're certified to be crazy? And I said, yes. And I get paid for it.
Uh-huh.
But underneath the humor, and there's a lot of humor in both my books, because as you know, I have a little singing telegram business, and I'm kind of a big ham. I worked at Irish Pub the other night, and we had a birthday next door, so I had to belt and blast them a little bit, and of course they loved it. But, you know, this is very serious work we're doing, and that's why I have so much respect for your work, because you've been at this a long time. You know, when nobody was, you know, doing the stuff you were getting into. So you're like my little hero. That's when I keep getting new beings that come in. And they'll just come in the middle of nowhere. I can be in the bathroom and I'll hear a word, or I'll hear maybe a sound or a tone. And I thought, well, you know, and then I'll sit down at the computer and I'll take off with it. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that need what we have to offer. And, yes, we must keep grounded. Believe me, you know, you've got your children, you know, the unseen world of your work, as you say, in the ground with your real family. I so relate to that. Because if I did not constantly walk and drink lots of water, eat lots of grounding natural food, I know I could step off the deep end. I know I could feel the pull of madness sometimes. You go to these places, and especially when you can do it in the middle of the day. When I was just dreaming, or so-called dream, I could just call it a dream. But then when my one story in God's Many Mansion is about Lyra, she's a spirit of the oak. And she came through in the middle of the day, and she's like, well, I'm a spirit. How could I show up in person? And I'm like, well, I'm corporeal human. How could I be touching and reaching out to you? So we go on a dream. We go meet the dream makers. That's called the dream makers. And I thought, like Julia said, I thought, this sounds totally crazy. But
okay,
yet,
Michael, I think there is a caller now. I heard a beep.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a caller there?
Yes. How you doing?
Okay. Do you have a question for Michael?
Yes. A minute ago, I just caught the program, but a minute ago, she said something in reference to energy. As far as getting messages and things like that, I believe she said something about parasites and things like that. If you have physical parasites in your body, will that cause problems or inhibit or confuse the message?
I think those are two separate things.
Physical
parasites are usually come from you eat or, you know, environment.
Right.
That's a different thing.
Uh-huh. There can be thought forms and attachments that can get in the aura of the energy, especially if there's an imbalance, say there's too much drugs or too much chemicals. So it can be a combination of things.
Okay, but I'm saying just like, say, for an individual who's been trying to get parasites out of his body, and he meditates and things also, and every now and then he gets messages, and some of them are kind of strange. Could that also be because of those, you know, meaning just like you're saying, everything has energy, you know, rocks, whatever, birds, it doesn't matter, everything has
energy.
Spirit. Right, so would that impede or cause complications?
Yeah, that's those kind of parasites. Well,
do you understand my question?
Yeah, like the energy of the parasites be like a toxin in your system, which could maybe have an effect. That's an interesting concept, actually.
But you know, you can talk to your body, and if there's anything in the body that's not causing it to be out of harmony and balance, you can ask it to be brought back into harmony and balance. I'm always talking about that in my lectures, is speak to your body. It loves for you to talk to it. Because inside your body, you have an entire universe, and there are all these beings living there. So all you have to do is talk to it, tell it how much you love it and how much you appreciate it. And when you do that, you're the voice of God, because this is your universe. And you can have it be brought back into balance and harmony, and it'll do it. It'll listen to you. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and if you have parasites, you can just ask them to be escorted out.
Yeah, that they're not necessary to ask them to leave, and they will. Because remember, you're the voice of God when you're talking to your body, and they have to listen to you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, indeed. Because from time to time when I don't do it as much as I should, attempt to meditate or meditate, you know, sometimes my stomach starts grumbling, but it might also be because of the deep breathing also. You know, I'm not sure, but I've been having trouble with my stomach for a while, off and on.
Uh-huh. Well, you have more power than you think you do. That's what people don't realize. They always figure they're the victims, and actually you have more control over your life than you think you do. If you're having problems with your stomach, with my work, that would mean there's something going on in your life that you can't stomach.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Michael, do you have anything to say about that, about the stomach?
I totally agree because, you know, the stomach, the solar plexus, the emotional body, I feel that there's a lot of passion in this gentleman that's pent up. There's a lot of doors wanting to be open, and very deep, very old soul, very wise energy. So I'm seeing like a burst of light. I have carpal tunnel in both wrists, not one, and I asked Spirit, what's that about? And they said, the meridian nerve is the nerve. They said, you don't have the nerve to write. This was when I would start and stop starting. So my body physically took that in, and I am now working on healing the carpal tunnel. But that's what happened, the stress, you know, not having the nerve, or you say heart issues, love, solar plexus, stomach, that's can't stomach, feelings, emotions, mm-hmm.
The body, it's, the body is very literal. But
yes.
Whatever part of the body you're having problems with, it's really, that's, you say, what does that part signify? And it tells you a real meaning for it. And that's where I do my work. It's always something to do with that part, and what does it represent? That's why I tell people to think of that. What does the heart represent? What does the stomach?
Yes.
What do the intestines represent? They're
yes.
giving you a message.
Yeah, and it will talk to us. Yes, you're perfect. I totally agree. It talks to me all the time.
Mm-hmm. But I agree that this man does sound like he is an old soul anyway.
Oh,
yeah,
much well, very ancient and beautiful, beautiful. Just, it's... you know, I think his emotional, higher emotional body wants to, I just hear, make room. So let your light shine, brother.
Okay, and I am a blood type O, and I was told that O blood types are ancient souls on this planet.
I don't know. I know that the old is a universal donor. I know that. That everyone can take O blood if in emergency.
Okay, but as far as spiritually, it doesn't matter as far as spirituality is concerned?
I've never known any connection.
Okay.
All right, well, I want to thank you for calling in.
Thank you both.
You've got to watch the clock now. Okay, well, thank you for calling in then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
All right.
Well, thank you too.
Okay, Michael. I'm trying to think where we were there, but we never remember where we stop.
Yeah. We don't. We just get going. And I think Mercury's in retrograde, too.
For a little bit longer.
Oh, I was hoping it isn't. Every time Mercury goes into retrograde, we have all kinds of problems.
Well, see, there's our little interruption we had early. I don't know what days, but I'm pretty sure an astrologer friend told me it is in retrograde, so... You know, that can, it's just what it is, as you would say.
Yeah, and it always causes problems with communication, contracts, anything in writing. And when that happens, we have a lot of problems with the office when the stars aren't right. Oh, by this next, tomorrow morning, they said there's going to be a beautiful eclipse.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they said it'll be the last of the moon. It'll be the last one this year. Of course, the year's almost over, and it won't happen again until 2014.
Yeah, and something I was thinking that was on the news before I came over here, and it was talking about that, and something was telling me there's some connection, Michael. Now tell me if you agree or whatever, but when I was seeing that, the report, I thought of you, and then I thought of your story where you had, but the moon goddesses. And so there's something, and it was just like tickling my memory. It was just like, there's something, remember this. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, well, am I going to see something maybe? You know, I'm always like, oh, you know, but.
They said it's going to be more visible on the west.
I know,
coast.
that's not what I'm talking about. Michael knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, not
she's business. Talking about the Sisters of the Pointed Flame and the moon deities. When I did that that meditation, that session where they took me out to the moon deities, I actually was being given the opportunity to merge with the energy, the essence of the moon. There's deities that live actually on the moon as well as the sun, and that's come up in your work too, Dolores. So when that came through, I feel that that's a part of that feminine lunar energy, like lunar eclipse. these deities are up there kicking booty is what I'm hearing, and the moon goddess is, you know, that's the feeling, the passion, and that story was mind-blowing, you know, the Sisters of the Pointed Flame, and here they're having me merge with the with this collective soul unit, and then if I took in enough of the love and the power and the feelings, then I could even go to the sort of the main moon deity on the moon and be infused with power and passion that I didn't even have. So that's part of what that's about. And those moon energies really, you know, they're the tides and everything all shaken up, and of course all the water and the typhoons. It's they're telling me it's a very deep ingrained imbalance in the emotional bodies.
This one, or in what do you, in general?
Oh, just everywhere. The planet in general.
I'm feeling there's something with this one, and it's like this one's standing out for some reason, and that's why I was. That's kind of more. You know, it's like, especially since I thought about you and I thought about your story, it was like it was tickling my memories. And it's like this one's going to be special. There's going to be something different about it. So that's why I'm wondering if you were getting anything. So
On the news also, they said that the volcano in on the Big Island is really getting ready to blow its stack. Mm-hmm. And they're worried because they have 5,000 visitors there every year, whether it's, that's the female goddess, Pele, is the goddess of the volcano there, too. And we'll be there in February, so. Yeah. But
if there's anything left.
I said it's getting ready.
If there's anything left.
It's ready to blow up, because they said it's a lot going on right there, right now. But that is a female aspect. That's what made me think of that, because of the female goddess. Pele, they always say, don't make Pele mad. You make her mad, she'll blow her stack.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to mess with them. Kali is another one of my stories, the goddess of radical transformation. I invoked her through a pendant of Kali, and she takes out unhealthy attachments. I got dumped and lost a job within 3 days because I said, Kali, great goddess of taking away what's not good for me, and it's like, you know, call it metaphorical or literal or whatever, but we call on Aphrodite or the great moon mothers. You know, they come. I mean, they that's creation void. They don't have limitations. They're, you know, I'm faltering for words because I can't express it.
Well, those are the old religions, the ancient religions that go way, way back, where they respected the moon and the nature. It was they were the nature worship, really.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm talking about invoking actually the energy of the archetype or the energy of the goddess. I put some Venus oil on my third eye a few years ago, wanting to get on with human love at the next stage. And I prayed to mighty Aphrodite, as they say, to please help me, you know, take this to the next level. 15 minutes later, someone walked in that New Age bookstore and looked at me and said, I've been waiting to meet you. So see what I'm saying?
I always thought of Aphrodite. I always thought of Aphrodite as being the love goddess. She's
that's
the,
what he's saying.
The equivalent.
That's what I'm talking about, love. I wanted to work on human love, so I invoked a ritual like the Kali pendant to get that which didn't serve me. I called on Aphrodite to help me with the human love, and boy, she blew me away. I mean, someone literally walked in that store. So see, thoughts move. Everything is energy. Thoughts are movable. You know that, you know, thoughts, it's energy. What we put out there with our intention, that's why I'm careful now what I ask for. I'm like, oh, do I really want this? I'm saying I do, but do I?
Right.
That's what they always say. Be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get it. Oh, well, Michael, we're coming around to the time we have to stop. I want you to tell people how they can contact you.
If they're interested in the books, of course, Ozark Mountain, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. As far as my own work, MikeThePsychic.com is my website. Make sure you spell psychic right. But if you just type Cincinnati, Ohio Psychics on Google, you'll get Michael Psychic Readings and Parties. I'm one of the first to show up. My contact information is in the end of all the books. But if you want me for readings or whatever, I do lots of those, telephone, email, all over the world, And you can find me. Just Michael Dennis, psychic. I'll show up because I'm all over the place.
Well, can I put in a little plug for Michael? I've had two readings with Michael, and I heavily endorse him. Michael, you give fantastic readings. He's dead on. You're very, very accurate. It's a wonderful reading, and it's very entertaining, too. But you are dead on. You're very, very good in your readings. So I just want to give you that plug.
Mm-hmm. But it's Thanks. Michael Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S. But you said you put that on Google, or you could just say Michael the Psychic.
Michael the Psychic.
Or they put up Cincinnati, Ohio Psychics.
And I'll come right up.
Okay, either one of those would be a way to contact you.
Yes,
but
thank
if you want to find out about the books, you can contact us at Ozark Mountain Publishing.
Yeah, we also have links over to Michael's site.
Okay.
From there.
But, you know, ours is Ozark Mountain, but it is abbreviated, OZARKMT.com. If you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. Okay, Michael, well, we're going to have to leave. I just wanted to make sure that they knew how to contact you. So your phone number is also on your website then?
Yes, yeah, and my email address.
Everything is on there.
Yes, thank you so much.
So they can get a hold of you, and his books are Morning Coffee with God and God's Many Mansions. Okay, well, I think we're going to have to leave now, but thanks, Michael, for being on tonight.
It was wonderful. I've been looking forward to this.
The hour just flew by.
It sure did when you're having fun. Thank you again.
Okay, well then, thanks for being on.
Okay, bye-bye
and,
now.
And everyone for listening tonight. Have a good evening.
Make it great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.